J. Michael Edwards in the Academy for episode 32, The Beast from the Earth. Let me ask you a question. Are these lessons enlightening you on the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ? My guess is much of this is new to you. If so, we are achieving our mission here in the Academy. Today, Pastor Don teaches on the third person in the unholy Trinity, the false prophet. Let's join the teacher.
Welcome back to the Majestic Academy. J. Michael in his place doing what he does so well. Episode number 32, as we take a look at the false prophet, the beast from the earth, Revelation 13, 11 through 15. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in sight of the men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast, to which the wound by his sword did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Father, thank you for another portion of Scripture. Open our understanding now in Jesus' name. Amen. And so for the past few weeks, we have been treading on unholy ground. We have spent a lot of time talking about the devil and his activities during the tribulation. I would just remind you that Satan is an imitator. He hasn't had an original thought in over 6,000 years. As we all know, there is an unholy Trinity. The Holy Trinity is comprised of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Trinity is these three individuals who are one God, and Satan has a Trinity too. His Trinity, however, is anything but holy. The unholy Trinity is comprised of Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. Each member of the Holy Trinity has a specific purpose. God the Father receives the worship of his people through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is a facilitator of this holy worship. He stirs up the heart of the believer and causes him or her to worship God. Remember, Satan is an imitator. His Trinity functions exactly the same way. In Satan's unholy Trinity, Satan receives the worship through the person of the Antichrist, and the false prophet facilitates this worship. We have already considered the first two members of the unholy Trinity. We have looked extensively at Satan and as the Antichrist. In this message, we will look at these verses and get a glimpse of the false prophet. He is the person who will guide the world's religion during the tribulation period. So let's look into these verses and notice the insights the Bible gives us concerning the beast from the earth. First of all, we see the personality of this beast. What he displays, this second beast is a man just as the first beast was. The word another translates from the Greek word allos, A-L-L-O-S, which means another of the same kind and quality. The figure described here is a man. This is also proven by his fate. Revelation 19:20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive in the lake of fire with brimstone. This beast has horns, which are a symbol of power. He has two horns. Two is the number that symbolized testimony. While the first beast had power because of the territory he ruled, this beast will have power because of the testimony he gives. The first beast had 10 horns. This beast has two horns. The first beast had 10 crowns. This beast has no crowns. The first beast is described in terrifying language as a leopard and a lion and a bear. This beast is called, guess what? a lamb. The first beast comes as a powerful world ruler. This beast appears as a man, a gentleman of faith. This individual will appear on the world stage as a gentle, meek, loving, and kind religious leader. He will have the charisma and gentle nature of a, shall I say, a Joel Osteen, or maybe a Robert Schuller. He will possess the religious power of the Pope. While the Antichrist will rule the world with brute force, this man will attract the world through his pleasant personality and pleasing words. And we see what he declares. As the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover. With this man, everything is not as it appears. He has all the outward appearances and trappings of a man of faith, but when he speaks the words of a dragon. He is the mouthpiece of Satan himself. He will be a religious man, but the religion he is promoting is the worship of Satan. His true nature will be revealed by the words which he speaks. Matthew 12:34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And that takes a look at the false prophet. Note, it does not take long to learn what a group of preachers believes. You only need to attend this church a few times to know what we believe. Come to Sunday school, preaching and youth meetings. Come to a revival meeting. Come to a few times and you will know where we stand. That is how it should be. By the way, it doesn't take too long to figure out what a preacher or a church believes. Just listen to the words they reveal in their hearts. Take some of the TV preachers, for instance. One of the most popular never mentions the name of Jesus, nor does he mention the word sin. He just tells a few stories and builds everyone up. Others are always talking about money and prosperity. And I think you know who I'm talking about here. It doesn't take long to separate the wheat from the chaff, if you know a little bit about the Word of God. And then we see the power of this beast. We see the source of his power. He exerciseth all the power of the first beast. This individual will receive his power from the same source that the Antichrist will receive his power, and that power comes from the devil. The world will accept this man as a man of God. He will be hailed around the world as the greatest religious leader the world has ever seen. The world will be deceived and will not grasp the truth that he is the agent of Satan until it is too late. So the scope of his power, the man will be a facilitator of a vast worldwide religion, a one world religion. He will be able to unite all the religions of the world under one banner. He will convince the world that the Antichrist is a god and that he alone is to be worshipped. Men and women from every conceivable religion will bow down in worship of the Antichrist as the leadership of this false prophet. This man will solve the problems between the religions of the world. Take the situation in the Middle East, for instance. The problems there are not political. The problems of the Middle East are religious. The problems in that part of the world predate the forming of Islam. The Jews and the Arabs have been a bitter enemy since the days of Moses and Joshua. Now, the Muslims hate the Jews, and they are bent on the destruction of the nation of Israel. No one can seem to solve their differences today, but this false prophet will during the tribulation. He will find the common ground that will allow all religions of the world to exist under one umbrella. In our day, when there is news of a religious nature, the world looks to the Pope to see what he has to say about any matter. In that world, the eyes and ears of the world will rest on the false prophet. Why will the world worship the Antichrist? As we learned in our last episode, the Antichrist will be wounded and die. he will rise again from the dead. The world will fall at his feet in stupefied wonder and worship. At some point, the Antichrist will enter the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. He will go into the Holy of Holies and he will place his throne there. He will declare himself to be God and will demand to be worshipped. Listen to what 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 3 and 4 say. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The false prophet will support the claims of the Antichrist and will lead the world to worship this man of sin. The phrase before him in verse 12 means in his presence. The two men, the Antichrist and the false prophet, are the devil's duo. They will work hand in hand to accomplish the devil's will here on earth during the dark days of the tribulation period. Remember now, Satan is an imitator. I know I've said that a number of times, but we have to remember, he is an imitator. We are told that the Holy Spirit will magnify Jesus in John 16, verses 13 to 14. Satan's anti-spirit will spend his time magnifying the Antichrist and will lead the world to worship the beast. And so we looked at the personality of the beast. We looked at the power of the beast. Let's look at the performance of this beast. We see his miracles. We are told that the false prophet will be a man of miracles. He will duplicate the miracles of the two witnesses. He will duplicate the miracles of Elijah. When Elijah called fire down from heaven, men fell to their faces and worshiped Jehovah. When the false prophet calls down fire from the sky, men will fall on their knees and worship the devil. This false prophet will lead the world to build an idol, an image of the Antichrist. He will cause this image to come to life. This image will speak to the people. They will be deceived by his power and his miracles, and they will fall down in worship of the beast and his image. The ministry of the false prophet will be marked by exciting and powerful miracles. His miracles will deceive the world. And notice this. In Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, there are three great fountains inside this part of the building known as the Forum Shops. I've been there. It's quite magnificent, actually. The ceiling looks like the sky. It's pretty cool, actually. But this shopping complex has been designed to give the illusion that you are walking down the ancient Roman streets. There is even a sky with clouds overhead. At the top of every hour, two of these fountains come to life. The statues in the fountains begin to move and talk to one another and to the people watching. I experienced that. One of the fountains tells and acts out the story at the fall of Atlantis. I said that to say this. If man has his ingenuity, can make statues that will come to life, surely the devil can do that and greater. This image of the Antichrist will live and it will deceive the world. We read this and we have trouble believing it, I know. We are living in a world where most people worship nothing but themselves. That's so true. It is hard to imagine people the world over bowing down to worship an image. In our day of advanced technology and sophisticated people, it is hard to see the world falling down before a statue to worship the devil. But try to put yourself in that time period. Millions have gone missing in the rapture. I look forward to that, by the way. The world is falling apart at the seams as war rumbles from country to country, and we have to mask up, and we've got pandemics and COVID-19 and the Delta strain and all these things. Starvation, lots of plagues. They're destroying half the world's population. Men in that day will be looking for something to believe in. They will be looking for someone who has the answers. Then, after all of that, people disappearing and all those things going on, the Antichrist will appear. He will have the solution to the problems of the world. He will have the solutions to war, to hunger, every problem of humanity. He'll cure COVID-19. He'll cure the Delta strain. Everybody will be healed. Then he will die at the height of his power and the world will mourn his passing. How could this happen? Then, miracle of miracles, he will rise from the dead. The world will see it live and in living color on their television sets. Even Fox News will show this. The false prophet will speak, and he will set the world at ease. He will declare the Antichrist to be the world's savior and will bow at his feet and worship him. It will be a time of mass deception on a worldwide scale. And you know what, my friends? Our world is being prepared for this right now. Miracles of all kinds are going around the world. Let me share a few of these weird things that are happening in the different parts of the world. Copper Ridge Baptist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. Strange crosses of light appear in the windows of the church. Several miraculous healings were reported. Strange visitors appear and disappear in this church. The home of Salim and Roxana Patel in Bolton, England, has recently been inundated with about 50 visitors a day coming to see their miraculous eggplant. Mrs. Patel foresaw the miracle in a dream after she'd bought the eggplant from their local shop. On slicing the vegetable in half, she saw the seeds that were formed in a Muslim symbol. It said, Ya Allah, meaning Allah exists. A girl in Lebanon produces crystal that has eyes. On 11 June 1995, a man suddenly appeared before a vast crowd in Nairobi, Kenya, gathered to witness the miracle healings of Kenyan spiritual leader Mary Acosta. Instantly recognizing the tall, white-robed figure as Jesus Christ, the crowds fell down, overcome with emotions. Another one, a likeness of the Buddha appears in a man's bathroom window, and rainbows of light streams from his image. These things are just crazy. Crowds flock to springs that are supposed to contain great healing powers in France, Germany, Mexico, and elsewhere. Just a few examples of strange happenings in our world. Some people look at these things and call them miracles. I look at them and call them the work of the devil as he prepares the world for the arrival of false prophets. Now, if you want to draw a crowd, just start advertising miracles and people will come. Miracle water! It will heal you! Miracle water! Free! With a donation. Anyway, it doesn't matter how strange or outlandish the claims, people will flock to see what they think is a miracle. One fellow claimed to see the face of Jesus in a tortilla in 1977 in New Mexico. He built a shrine, and thousands have gone to see there to pray before a tortilla. Someone saw the image of the Virgin Mary on the side of their house and turned it into a shrine. Thousands have gone there to pray to Mary. When the terrorist attacks happened on 9/11, someone took a photo of a cloud that was supposed to look like the devil. People believe in that kind of junk. I guess it never occurred to anyone that no one knows what Jesus, Mary, and the devil look like, other than movies. This stuff just proves my point. The world is being prepared for a mass delusion. And then we see his motive. The false prophet does all this stuff for the sole purpose of getting the world to worship the Antichrist. The world will fall for this deception and they will worship the Antichrist. Those who refuse Orthodox Jews and those who have been saved during the tribulation will be hunted down and destroyed. Today, you can worship any god you please to worship, or you can worship no god at all. That's your choice. In that day, you will either worship the Antichrist or you will pay for your disobedience with your life. The world will come together in one day. It will not be the United Nations that will bring about their unity. It will be the work of Satan, and he uses the Antichrist and the false prophet to accomplish his goals in the world. And so our world is heading for some very dark days. The time to escape the coming nightmare is right now. The Bible says now is the day of salvation. If you have never trusted Jesus as your Savior, once again, I know I do this a lot, but it's important. I challenge you to come to Him for your salvation. Come to Him and be saved today. Ask God to confess, to forgive you of your sins. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that He died for you. Believe that He rose again. And then the Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is a gift of God. Ephesians 2:8-9, by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus, not of works. It is a gift of God. If I gave you a gift, but I made you pay $200 for it, is that free? Is that free? A free gift if I make you pay $200 for it? No, that's not free. How about if I made you come over and mow my lawn? Come over and mow my lawn, you can be saved. Just come over and mow my lawn. Is that free? That's not free, because you're having to work for that salvation. No, salvation is a gift. It's a gift. If I buy you a gift, I put your name on it, I wrap it up with a bow, and I give it to you. What do you have to do to make it yours? It's got your name on it. It's free. What do you have to do? You have to reach out and take it out of my hands. You have to accept it. That's the difference. People say, I believe in Jesus. I do believe in Jesus. The Bible says that the devil believes in Jesus and he trembles. It's not about believing, my friends. It's about receiving. Heaven and hell are 18 inches apart. That's the distance between your brain and your heart. You need to move that belief from your brain and accept into your heart. But you need to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you also need to accept Him into your heart to be the Lord of your life. And that's what people haven't done today. They've not received Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life. So once you do that today, once you bow your heads and just pray that simple prayer, dear Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I believe You died for me. I believe You rose again, and I ask You into my heart right now to be the Lord of my life, to take me to heaven when I die. And I pray it in Your precious name. Amen. But it's not just the words, okay? The words alone will not get you to heaven. You also have to believe in your heart. Believe in your heart. So I pray that you're saved today. Wow, if you're saved, you can praise the Lord, because you're going to miss all these things. You and I have family and friends who are going to be left behind. We're living in a world filled with people who will be here. They're going to stay. And my friends, people say, well, I'll just get saved after the rapture. No. God will send a great delusion, and you will believe a lie. You won't believe in Jesus on the other side either. You can't get saved on the other side. If you've been exposed to the gospel and you've rejected Jesus Christ, you will go through the rapture. I'm sorry, you will go through the tribulation, and you will not have an opportunity to be saved. We should seek the Lord on behalf of our family and friends. If He would have you do that, call on Him as He leads you to give you the words. I've got a sister that's not saved, and it's a burden on my heart. I just don't want my family, any of my family. I've got cousins, and I have an aunt, and I know you do too. Parents, grandparents might have all passed away. They're in heaven today. Reach your family and friends. Next lesson, you're not going to want to miss. It's the one that everybody's waiting for. The mark of the beast. The mark of the beast. You don't want to miss that one. Until then, keep looking up and listening for the shout. I believe it's getting close, my friends. God bless.
Beautiful announcer man back. You now have a good picture of who and what the unholy Trinity is. If you are not saved before the rapture of the church, you will meet them personally. That is not a good thing. Our next episode is one many of you, if not all, are waiting for, The Mark of the Beast. One thing you will learn, it is not a vaccine. Until then, keep looking up and listening for the shout.